So the last 2 weeks we have been looking at this passage on the suffering of our Savior. The week before we focused on Jesus Christ being that offering for sin. And last week we focused more on the actual suffering that He went through, and that He was a substitute in that suffering and all that He bore for us. Tonight we finished this section by focusing more on Jesus taking our sins upon Himself and what that means for our salvation. So we're just going to look at verses 10 through 12 tonight, where the Bible says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So I'm going to take my title from verse 12. He bare the sins of many. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I ask that You would use Your word in our lives tonight to again remind us of the price that was paid for our salvation. Remind us of how blessed we are to have a Savior that loved us so much that He was willing to go through these things on our behalf. Lord, just speak to our hearts and do a mighty work there. And may we glorify You in this service. We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You notice there in verse 10, the Bible says, "It pleased the Lord." That all caps means Jehovah. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus Christ for us. It pleased God. And that's kind of hard for us to reconcile, isn't it? On the one hand, there's the love there that a father has for his son. And yet there's the love that the Father had for us. And so He had to, in a way, let the one love override the other and be pleased by the suffering that Jesus Christ went through on our behalf. If you would go back to Romans 8, please, and verse 32, the Bible says that He was delivered on our behalf. It said there in Isaiah 53:10 that His soul was made an offering for sin. There's so many aspects of the suffering of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. There's His body and the pain that He went through. There's the blood that was shed on our behalf. But there's also even the aspect of His soul being made an offering, as we read here in Isaiah 53:10. Notice Romans 8:32, the Bible says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" God says, as we reflect on this thing that God allowed for us, as we reflect on the fact that He was willing to deliver Jesus Christ up to all of this suffering and ultimately His soul being an offering, as we reflect on that, it should remind us that God loves us. And that God is therefore going to be good to us. If He was that good to us at Calvary, we should never question His goodness. That's what He's trying to tell us. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It went on to say there in verse 11 of our passage that He shall see the travail of His soul again. So here we've read about His soul being an offering, and now we see about the travail of His soul. You know, we often think about the suffering of His body, which we focused on last week. And it looks like, from the way the Bible describes it, Jesus suffered physically just about as much as a man can without dying. As far as the blood loss from the scourging and the beatings and the crown of thorns, like we talked about last week, the beard being plucked out by the roots. All that Jesus went through, and then of course hanging on the cross, the death was through not being able to breathe. You had to push up on your feet to be able to take a breath. It was the way the Romans designed it. And that's why when it came time to end the crucifixions, they came through with a big club and would break their legs so that they couldn't push up, and then they would suffocate and die. And that's when the Roman soldier found Jesus already dead and didn't break his legs. And of course, that was a fulfillment of Scripture, that the Passover lamb could have no broken bones. But we often focus on the bodily suffering, but here it's talking about the soul. When Jesus was in the garden, just prior to being taken away for these false trials, his soul went through a lot of travail. Because Jesus knew in advance what he was about to go through. Not just the physical, but the spiritual. For one who is the Holy of Holies to have to take upon himself sin, which God hates. The Bible says he's of purer eyes than to behold evil. For him to have to become sin, imagine the travail that would involve. And that's what it says, that God the Father would see the travail of the Son and be satisfied, the travail of his soul. Now, this word satisfied, that's an important word. There's another word in the Bible that ties in with this word, and that word is propitiation. It's a New Testament word that means satisfaction. It means that God is satisfied, or his justice is appeased through this punishment that Jesus went through on our behalf. His holiness is appeased through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Look back up at verse 4, if you would, on Isaiah 53. The Bible says, he hath borne our griefs. Verse 5, the chastisement was upon him. In verse 6, he laid on him the iniquity of us all. It says he laid on him. So God was satisfied with the travail of Christ's soul when the sins of man were laid on Jesus. Only the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ, including his soul, not just the body, but the Bible says he gave up the ghost. What does that mean? It means his soul left his body. He died. He physically died, and that separation took place. Only that substitutionary death was sufficient to satisfy God's holy demands for the punishment of our sin. It's pretty amazing. For hundreds of years, Israel had been foreshadowing this. And they were told over and over again, you have to sacrifice, you have to sacrifice. It takes blood, it takes blood. Pointing forward to the ultimate and final and complete sacrifice that God will be satisfied with, and that is the sacrifice of our Savior. Turn, if you would, to 1 John 2, and we'll see again this satisfaction that took place through the offering of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice 1 John 2:2. The Bible says, he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, that's important to a Bible believer, because it tells us that Calvinism isn't true. That he died for the sins of every single person. That doesn't mean everybody gets saved because they have to accept the payment through repentance, but it does mean that their sins were carried by Jesus on the cross. And now again, Hebrews 9, if you would, talking about God being satisfied with the travail of Jesus' soul when he bore our iniquities, when he died for our sins, this substitutionary death. Notice Hebrews 9:12. The Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, we don't understand how all of this works, but Jesus somehow took his shed blood into the Holy of Holies. This is in heaven. The one that was down here was just a picture of the real one. And offered that perfect blood as the payment for our sin. And God was satisfied. And it says here that he bore our iniquities. As we talked last week, the Bible says that the sky went dark for 3 hours. And during that 3 hours, the Father had to turn his back on the Son, and Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so Jesus had to suffer not only all the physical pain, all the humiliation that took place prior to and on the cross, the physical death, but just prior to the physical death, he had to face this separation that we, again, can't understand or relate to until we get to heaven and have it explained to us how Jesus Christ could bear such a thing, to be actually separated from the Father. But it was a requirement, because while Jesus became sin, the Father could not look upon the Son, because he was sin, and God is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And so the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, he bare his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And then if you would look at 2 Corinthians 5, I know we look at this verse a lot, but 2 Corinthians 5:21, such an important verse for Christians in regards to the sacrifice of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is important. The Bible says, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Think about what that phrase is saying. We often talk about the fact that he took sin on himself. That's not what this is saying. And he did take our sins. He did bear them, but he went further. The Bible said he became sin. How could God do such a thing? We don't understand, but we know it's true. So the Bible says, God made him to be sin. And so while Jesus hung on the cross and the sins of the world were placed on Jesus Christ, for those 3 hours he became the sin of man. And then, of course, the sin was crucified. And Jesus paid the debt. And when he hung on that cross and when he died, the Bible says he bare the sins of many. Go back to our passage, Isaiah 53, verse 12. The Bible says there at the end of the verse, he was numbered with the transgressors and he bare the sins of many. Praise God. We wouldn't be here tonight if that were not true. That Jesus Christ bare the sins of every single human being when he hung on that cross. And the Bible tells us that over and over. But let's just be reminded and go to Matthew 27 one more time and look at this very heavy thing that happened here in Matthew 27. Again, verse 45. The Bible says, Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And the way Jewish calendars work, from my understanding, that would be like from 12 until 3 in the afternoon. So the middle of the day, the sky went dark. And it says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And so Jesus had to become sin. He had to bear sin. He had to physically suffer. And then he had to have the suffering of the soul, the travail of the soul, all of this for us, that he might bear our sins in his own body on the tree. If you would look at 1 Timothy and chapter 2, and we'll be reminded that when Jesus Christ bore our sins, when he became sin, when God was satisfied with the travail of his soul, that it was for every single person. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 6. The Bible says, who gave himself a ransom for all. Praise God. A ransom. We know what a ransom is. It's a payment. Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. And one more scripture, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9:28. The Bible says, so Christ was once offered. Hallelujah. It only takes the once, because it was the right one and the complete one. Once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And so the Heavenly Father was satisfied when he saw Jesus bruised on our behalf, the physical suffering that he went through, which we talked about last week. And when he saw the travail of his soul suffered as well. And then ultimately when he saw, or didn't see, had to turn away from the sins of the world being placed on Jesus Christ, and then Jesus becoming sin for man, the sin of man. And then, of course, his death. All of that so that the Heavenly Father could be satisfied. So that his justice, which was demanded because of his holiness, could be completely satisfied. And because of that, what's the Bible say? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Salvation is a gift now, because it's all paid for. That's why you just have to shake your head when you meet people that think they can earn heaven by doing whatever, going to church, getting baptized, being a good person. How could anything that we would try to offer to our Heavenly Father even compare to all of these things that Jesus went through on our behalf? And that's what essentially we're saying to God if we're trying to earn heaven is, well, we want to add something to it, or we want to offer something that we think is equivalent or better than what Jesus did. What an insult to our Heavenly Father. How blasphemous could we be? When you reflect upon all of this, all of the suffering, all of the blood, all of the abuse, all of this that he went through, that's what it took to pay for our sin. And it was enough. Hallelujah. Once for all. So we are so blessed to be able to say Jesus Christ bore my sins. Jesus paid my death. Jesus suffered on my behalf so that I could receive the gift of eternal life. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What an exchange. Jesus took all of that, including the 3 hours of separation. What do we get in return? Righteousness, eternal life, heaven, God's presence. How could we not praise God 7 times a day when you think about that? So thank the Lord, he bare the sins of many, and we are so blessed because of it. Amen. Let's pray.